Om Namah Shivaya. Om Shanti 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 Om. Peace. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
It's good to be with you again, to see your lovely smiling faces. Happy face. Put on a happy face.
All gone.
Especially you, I mean. The whole universe is in a state of flux. Nothing is solid, nothing is permanent, nothing exists. It's the way it appears. Your body is a miniature universe. Your body is a replica of the entire universe. Your body is a macrocosm and a microcosm. This being so, then there's nothing permanent inside of you. You're not a permanent being. You're not meant to be a permanent being. You're also in a state of flux. When you begin to realize this about yourself, you leave things alone. You stop fighting life. You stop fighting yourself. We realize change will come along soon anyway. And take you away from here, put you somewhere else. You'll drop your body, you'll become something else completely, something different. So why are you here? Why fight? Why be upset? Why have problems? Only the person who believes he's going to live forever tries to mold the world into his way of thinking or her way of thinking. When you look at the tiniest thing in life, a little insect has its lifespan, maybe a couple of hours, maybe a couple of days. A little insect is not born to live forever. It can't even think like that. It goes along with the flow of life. It knows nothing about birth and death. When the time comes, it drops itself and it's finished. When you look at a higher animal, a dog or a cat, they live approximately 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years. And then they just let go. And they go on with the bigger and better things. Then I think I've got to take care of my body so it'll live forever. I've got to eat the right foods. I've got to eat vitamin pills. I've got to do certain exercises all the time so I'll last forever. The person of wisdom realizes that no matter what they do to themselves, they're going to go just the same as everybody else, sooner or later. They may prolong their life a couple of years. Big deal. You didn't come in this world to hold on to your life.
What were you going to say?
Who knows? I'm the last one to know. Anyway, I didn't come in this world to do it. The truth is, you didn't even come into this world. You're not even here. But you think you are, so we have to talk about these things. You think you're somebody, you think you're something. You think you're an important person, you think you matter. You believe the world can't do without you. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Our egos are so big, we try to make a mark for ourselves. We say, when I leave this planet, I want people to remember me. Don't forget you, don't worry. They may remember you a couple of days, a couple of hours. Then they go on with their life and you're all forgotten. Everything must change. Everything. When we look into the lives of planets, galaxies, they too keep changing, changing, changing. Nothing is forever. A tree may live 100 years, 200 years, but it has to go. A mountain seems to be here forever because of our thinking of time, what time means to us. We therefore think a mountain is here forever, but in universal terms, it's here for a while, 1,000 years, 500 years, whatever, and it crumbles, changes into something else. The galaxies keep being born, keep being destroyed. Everything comes and goes. And soon the whole universe is dissolved. Maybe every 250 million years, the whole universe comes to an end, it's all finished. Then there's only boundless space. There's nothing but boundless space. Yet, this boundless space sits in the lap of consciousness. The first manifestation of consciousness is boundless space. When we come to consciousness, we have nothing to say about that. For our finite minds cannot grasp it. It is something so rare, so extreme, so mind-boggling, we can never understand what consciousness is. Yet it is a substratum of all existence. We can never think what it is with our minds. We can never understand what it is. It's impossible. This is why when you get to terms like consciousness, you keep silent. There's nothing to say after that. But then somebody like me comes along and tells you that you are consciousness. You are the consciousness that we cannot understand. You are the consciousness that is the substratum of all existence. You are that consciousness which is so profound, so far out, so, that you can't even discuss it. There are no words to discuss it with. You can't describe it, you can't feel it, you can't taste it, you can't smell it, you can't hear it. But there's something out there called consciousness. Now man is the only type of instrument that can express the consciousness. In other words, we can discover this consciousness, become this consciousness, and be this consciousness forever. Our true nature is this consciousness. This is what we really are. This is what we've always been. And this is what we'll always be. So, we get back to us. Our mission is really to transcend the world and become consciousness, our true self. This is the only thing we have to do on this planet. There's nothing else we came here for. Nothing else. This is it. When you get involved in your projects and your work and your life, this is really a waste of time. It really is. Well, you're not coming here for that. You came here to know yourself. And when you discover yourself, you realize that you never even came here. There's no way, no place to come from. Where would you come from? To be, you'd have to come from someplace. These are all words, 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 words. There's so many words. Yet let me just say this. If you ever taste just a glimpse of consciousness, you'd be so happy, so blissful, so at peace with yourself and life. You can never understand what you would become. If you can only taste a glimpse of this consciousness. You never think of hurting anyone. You never think of going to war. You never think of this is mine, this is mine, this belongs to me. There will never be a you and a me. There will only be one. And that one is everything and everybody. And that's just a glimpse of consciousness. It's so beautiful, so wonderful, so grand. This is why people in a class like this, in teaching like this, you really be interested in nothing but this understanding to unfold and to become totally free. This should be the only thing we should be interested in, nothing else. Yet as we're interested in becoming totally free, we will be led and guided to our right place and do the things we have to do on this earth. Something will take care of us. While we're trying to find ourselves, while we're trying to find consciousness, which always exists, was never lost, we will do our thing, whatever we came here to do. It's so difficult to understand how you can be searching for consciousness on one hand and continuing your life or humanhood on another hand. See, this is exactly what happens. But your life becomes beautiful. When I say life becomes beautiful, I don't mean that problems will not come to you. But you will not see them as problems any longer. There will be no problem that you see. For you'll be seeing yourself. Always remember that your life is like a mirror. A mirror cannot see itself, but it reflects everything it sees. So what you really are in your life, you're reflecting all over the place. If you feel hurtable, then things will happen to you to hurt you. Whatever you feel, you attract more and more of the same. You're always seeing your own image. This is why it's so foolish to me when people get excited, when there's man's humanity, there's a man going on, there's conflict, chaos, confusion. These people are only seeing themselves. Where in truth there's only one self, that self is consciousness. It's all the same. Isn't that yourself and myself? There's only the self. And you're absolutely free. You're free to choose. I know some of you are saying, well, Robert always tells us life is preordained, so I can be free. It is preordained for that person who keeps responding to the world. The person who responds to the world, to effects of this world, is a person who goes onward and onward and onward, takes on more bodies, keeps taking on more bodies, keeps becoming more human, and never becomes enlightened. It is only when you realize you've got the freedom to let go. This freedom you have. The freedom to let go, to stop being hurtable. The freedom to choose consciousness over the world and things of this world. That's the freedom we all have. We have this freedom. But if we forget about it and we become worldly, we have no freedom. In that case, everything is preordained, predestined. So whether you want your life to be predestined or totally free is up to you. It's your choice. An animal doesn't have this choice. An insect doesn't have this choice. A tree doesn't have this choice. A mountain doesn't have this choice. You have this choice. What are you doing with it? As long as you have feelings of pain, disharmony, you feel distraught, you feel something is wrong someplace, you're making a choice right then and there. You're saying, I'm going to feel hurt, I'm going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to believe somebody's trying to do something to me, life is bad. That's everyone for themselves. We have to step on someone's path before they step on us. This will be our thinking. This will be our ways of living. And if we live this way, if we think this way, if we act this way, then life is preordained for us. Predestined. And as you sow, so shall you reap. What goes around comes around. Yet you have to realize you're the cause of everything. You are the cause of everything that happens to you. There's no one to blame but you. If you have certain people in your life you can't get along with, your family, relatives, whatever. You are purposely attracted to these people before you came to this earth. And these people attracted you for this, their karma and your karma. And you have to work it out. If you keep reacting the same way you always do, you will not work it out. You'll get deeper enmeshed into it. And you'll come back again and again and again in different bodies until you get it right. We can really say that the universe is a university to educate the soul. Now why am I telling you all these things? Because there's nothing else to do. You know that there's no soul, there's no universe, There's no body, there's no mind. There's no karma, there's no reincarnation. There's no liberation. There's no delusion. And yet we discuss all these topics we're talking about. I guess by discussing it you'll realize it doesn't exist. If you didn't discuss it, you wouldn't know what doesn't exist. After all, you have to know what doesn't exist, so you won't feel good, you won't feel good about it. You'll make trouble, you'll make problems in the world. To find out what doesn't exist. Try acting like a god. Instead of a human being. In other words, when you come up with predicaments in your life, before you get involved in it, say to yourself, now what would God do in a case like this? And since God doesn't exist, there's nothing to do. So why are we discussing the subject? Because he wants to hear me talk.
It's true.
Everything is beautiful. Everyone is a god. Everyone doesn't exist. And yet here we are, looking at each other. What do you see when you look at each other? Most of us see another person. But is it really another person? You know, when you go to sleep and you dream at night, the dream becomes like a big bubble, and in the bubbles contain the whole universe, just like this. People, places and things. Situations ensue. People are born, people die, people get old, people get young. It all happens in the dream, in the bubble. But where did the bubble come from? The dream bubble. Where else? It came out of yourself. You were having a dream. But listen to this. This is a miracle, if you think about it. You are creating the whole dream world. What you dream about. You're creating everything. As far as you're concerned, if you're in that dream, you're going to stick up for your rights. And you will not believe it's a dream. If I come into your dream and I tell you, don't concern yourself with this thing. Don't worry about this. It's not important. Stop feeling hurt. Stop feeling confused. Stop feeling something is wrong. You'll look at me and you'll say, well, Robert, if you were experiencing this, you'd be here too. You know what I'm going through, the hell I'm going through. And then I tell you, but it's only a dream. Can't you see this? It's a dream. And you throw rocks at me. You chase me away. What do you mean it's a dream? I'm going through it. Can't you see I'm bleeding? This is not a dream. This is real. Then you wake up. What happened to everything? Where did everything go? It's gone. It never existed. But then you exist. The dreamer. The dreamer exists. Or does he? Mm-hmm. Who is this dreamer? Where did this dreamer come from? You have awakened into this world. And you know yourself as a body. Remember, in the dream world, you were also a body, weren't you? Just like this. There was no difference. You were a moving, fighting body in the dream. And no one will be able to tell you that you weren't dreaming. No one will be able to convince you of this while you're dreaming. But you exist in this dream. Now you're awakened and you also exist. And I tell you this is all a dream and you won't believe me. I tell you, you're dreaming right now. You're dreaming the mortal dream. But you refuse to accept what I say. You refuse to believe me. You may tell me with one breath, I believe you, Rob. I know this is a dream. But as soon as you go outside, the first person that bumps into you, you become angry. So how can this be a dream? You're feeling the world. As long as you're feeling the world, you believe that it's not a dream. You believe the world is real. So you have this choice again. To realize the world is a dream, to leave everything alone, to be at peace with yourself and be at peace with others, and just observe the world without reacting to it. Or you can get completely and fully involved in this world, totally involved in the world, trying to make things happen, trying to make yourself popular, make yourself good, bad, go through all kinds of experiences, and always fighting for survival. This is the choice you've got. This is the choice you have. This is the choice that you have to work with. What will you do with it? And so sages have appeared in our lives when we're ready, who have told us what to do. They have told us, leave the world alone, stop fighting it, go deep within yourself, focus on yourself. Find out who you really are. Either by listening to the discourse and awakening through the words, which can happen sometimes, or going deep within, leaving the world alone, not thinking of this world, but seeing yourself as the world, or practicing self-inquiry, which becomes beautiful when you know what you're doing. It becomes boring if you do it mechanical. By simply asking yourself, what am I? What the hell am I? What am I doing here? As Russ Burrows' vice president said. He got up there and said, who am I? What am I doing here? Perhaps he knows something we don't know. You really have to ask yourself those questions. What am I doing here? What am I? Am I this person? I can't be this person. If I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when I was first conceived, I was no bigger than a little pinhead. And now I grew into a lovely lady, a lovely man. I still get older. I'll turn into an old lady, an old man. So how can this be me? How can this person, so to speak, who keeps changing, changing, changing constantly, be really me? Ask yourself. Ask yourself, how did I get here? who made me. What am I? You keep asking yourself these questions over and over again, and something will give. But one day you'll awaken to the fact that you're asking, who am I? You're not asking, who is me? You're asking, who am I? In other words, you're wondering who the I is. See what you do, the discovery you come to? Who am I? Who is this I? It goes through experience after experience after experience. Who is this I? You stop identifying with a small I, which is the I thought. This is a big step in your evolution when you can do this. Most people do it the wrong way. They keep saying, who am I? And they're thinking that they are I. But you're not I. You're not this I thought that I'm referring to. You're not a small I. You're not that. Yet you've been living on this I all of your life. When you discover what this I is, then you'll discover freedom. But the first step is realizing that you're not I. And realizing that it's I who has all the problems, not you. In other words, you've got to come to the conclusion, I feels hurt. I feels upset. I feels uncomfortable. I feels unwanted, unloved. Not me, but I. Not me, but the I. And now you have a whole new ball game. You're beginning to see that the I is not you. The secret is to discover where the I came from. If this I is not me, where did it come from? Who gave it birth? And you sneakily follow it. You start to follow the I where it came from. You will soon realize something very interesting. That the I is very spontaneous. It comes in a flash, all of a sudden. Yet you can see it, you can feel it, you can watch it. As an example, early in the morning when you first get up, the first few seconds when you get up, you are at peace with yourself and the world. There's no world that exists for you in between the waking and the sleeping state. When you first open your eyes, those few seconds, there's no I, and you're in perfect peace. You don't know a thing about your problems. You have no idea about the world. Yet you open your eyes and you look at the world. For those first few seconds, there's absolutely nothing disturbing you. If you have cancer, it's not there. No matter what the problem is, it's not there in those first few seconds. But all of a sudden, the eye becomes active. And now you say, I feel my bones aching. I feel I'm hungry, I want breakfast. I have to get up to go to work. I have to do this, I have to do that. Feeling like it's taking over your life. This little I, this insignificant little nothing, has taken over your entire life and existence. And you're going along with it. How foolish. You're believing what it says and what it's doing. Because you agree with it. See, I said, I have a headache. Instead of saying, oh, you have a headache, but I don't. You believe that this I is you. And your head begins to hurt. You have made this I your God. And that's why you suffer like you do. That's the only reason. There's no other reason. So you're going to get really into this. You say, so I'm going to find out what's going on in my life. I'm going to follow that. I'm going to trace that eye to its source. So the next morning comes, you're ready for it. You're alerted. You know you're going to get up, there'll be no eye. But then the eye will come in all of a sudden. So you watch, you get up in the morning, you're prepared. And you feel the eye coming from your heart, up the spine, and to your brain. So you have discovered where the eye comes from. Everything I'm sharing with you can be discovered in practice. You can practice this. You will see that I'm saying the truth. It may not take you one day or 2 days or a week. It may take you some time to do this. But if you keep watching in the morning when you get up, you will discover the eye comes from the heart, the spiritual heart on the right side of the chest. Goes through the spine up into the brain. And then you become a slave of the eye. The eye takes you through the day and through life. But now that you discover where it comes from, you begin to see that when I go to sleep, it reverses itself. It goes the other way. For when you go to sleep, just before you fall asleep, those few seconds before you fall asleep, you're in the same consciousness you were when you woke up in the morning, before you awaken and become fully aware of the eye. You're in the same place, the same position. But this time it's reversing, it's going the other way. The eye is going from the brain, down the spine, back into the heart. This is called tracing the eye. Following the eye thought. Now you've got something to work with. Now you've got something to do. Keep you busy. You've got a mischief. You begin to follow that eye. When you're able to follow that eye into the heart, in other words, when you're consciously in your waking state, able to follow the eye back into the heart, you will become free and liberated. This is your homework. This is what you have to do. All of you have to start doing this, have to practice this. Discovering the eye, where it came from, tracing it back into the heart center. When it goes back into the heart center, and you're conscious, you're liberated. For there's no more I. It is the I that's been keeping you in bondage. The I. Follow this I. Do it. become very peace. I'm going to start playing some different kind of music. If you like this music, let me know and I will play more of it. If you don't like it, see Lee and punch him out. So what do you think?
Kelly.
You know, I was laughing and laughing, and then when I opened my eyes, I saw 2.5 people smiling too. it takes some time to get used to this thing, because most of us are used to the Om Namah. Go ahead.
Anybody want to punch the guy out?
Yeah,
go get him.
The words should be transcribed, it would be.
Really
it is now time to play Stump the Guru. When you come in on Sunday, if you don't remember, write a question down.
Should we bring our stump
spoons? Thank you. And if I can't answer it, you'll attack me. Throw me out the window.
Good idea. Let's do it.
First one is, can you describe a devotee?
Humility. Total humility. A devotee is a being who has come for many lifetimes with the Master. He or she is totally different than a disciple or a seeker. A devotee doesn't want to think about anything else anymore but the truth, the teaching. That's what they care about. They've finished running around the world, finished going into this teaching, into that teaching. Going to see Baba Lu on Sunday, and Baba Hari on Wednesday, and Baba Baba on Thursday.
Robert Allen.
And the devotee is one who has found what they want. That's what they want. I always give the example of Ramana Maharshi and the person pulling the fan. One of the devotees' job was pulling the fan for 35 years. He said to him, pull the fan on Ramana. Wanted nothing, cared for nothing. In the West, it sounded like a stupid person. But it's far from being stupid. One day he was pulling the fan, he was about 80 years old, and he dropped dead. And Ramana looked and he said, he will not come back again. He totally realized. So the West has never had a good understanding of a devotee. Remember, there are many teachers all over the place. But where can you find a good devotee? So I would say a quality of a devotee is total humility, total love, unbounded love, total joy in what they're doing. They're not stupid people. In the Western mind, they appear sort of stupid. But they care about nothing but serving the Master, taking care of the teacher. So they care about them. Maybe they know something we don't. Something to think about. So the quality is humility, totally humility. Nothing, I need this, so I want that, I want to become this, I want to become that. They have totally surrendered to the self in the form of the Guru. There's a lot to this. Next question.
Why does the higher self rush at us when we stand up for it? And what is happening to us when we stand up for it?
You can sit down for it, not stand up. The higher self is your real nature. That's what you really are. So naturally, if you become still long enough, if you stop shouting and making things happen and wanting things and doing things, if you become totally still long enough and leave whatever happens happen, then you become the real self. It seems to rush at you because it's unfolding as you. And when you're quiet, you become that. Simple. All your job is to become quiet. Become still. You have nothing to prove, nothing to do, nothing to fight. You leave the world alone. Everything will take care of itself. You don't worry any longer. And the self will rush into your arms and you will embrace and live happily ever after.
Or is that because my belief system attracts a punishment, or because karma is trying to clean my slate quickly so I can be balanced with universe, God, again quickly?
There's no punishment, you're not a sinner. You've never been a sinner. You have divine essence. It appears sometimes that when you get into this teaching, things become progressively worse. And this is very good. What it means is you've had so much stuff inside of you, so many ideas, so many beliefs, so many concepts, so much dogma, opinions. As these things are destroyed, you don't feel good about it because it's taking you away from where you've been all your life. It's pulling the rug from under you. It's taking away all of your toys, all of your objects that you love so much, this thing that you were holding on to. This only happens when you're really sincere. When you're really sincere, you'll have so much faith and so much strength from your sincerity that you'll just look at everything happening to you and smile and laugh. It will not matter to you one iota. For you will know that everything is happening for a divine purpose. There's nobody to hurt you. There's no power in this universe that can hurt. There's nothing that can ever hurt you, nothing. For there's only God with the Zayat consciousness. Such as Ananda, the reality is the only thing that exists, Brahman. Which is beyond concepts, beyond knowledge, beyond anything we can ever know. It permeates the whole universe. It is in everything and everybody. When you become still, you become closer to Brahman. You become free and liberated as you let go. So a true disciple that comes into a way of Vedanta will not react to things any longer, no matter what happens. For they will have no fear. All fear has left them. They will not believe something bad has happened to me, I've got to straighten it out and make it good. All fear will be gone. They will do what has to be done without fear. And if they're able to do this, then the next time the same thing happens, something similar, they will laugh in his face and they'll disappear forever and they'll never have to go through that again. But if you react to it with fear, animosity, hate, vengeance, you may appear to win sometimes, but you'll have to go through it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. So you stop being vengeful, you stop being hateful, then everything will stop and it'll be yourself. Good question.
After coming to your satsang for past 3 months, I feel better and my life runs nicely. But I didn't come here to feel better or more successful. I came to realize the self. Help, help. I don't want to be trapped in feeling good and successful, but without self-realization.
Who tells you to feel this way? What comes to you is part of your training. It's part of the experience of even wanting to be free, totally unhindered. So feeling good, enjoy it, feel good. Don't think it's bad. Feel wonderful. But go further. As you keep going beyond feeling good, beyond experiences, you'll come higher and higher and higher. You'll raise yourself to a high level of consciousness. And your idea of feeling good will disappear. The idea of what is good, what is bad, will all disappear out of your system. You'll be ready for the final step into liberation. So don't say you didn't come here to feel good. Feeling the way you're describing is part of the process. As you go on, Buddha said, you will feel better and better until your ego explodes and blows up and disappears out of your system totally and completely. So this is a good sign that you're feeling good and things are better for you in your life. Enjoy it while you can.
Dear Robert, what are you constantly aware of?
Nothing. What is it to be aware of? There's absolutely nothing to be aware of. If I were aware of something, there would have to be an entity there to be aware of it. There would have to be an ego or a mind or something that's aware of something. But there's nothing to be aware of. Well, I've got plenty of nothing. Nothing's plenty for me.
Who dash what am I?
You're a little tiny eye that's on the paper. That's you. You're a little anything, beanie, tiny little eye. That's what you are. You put it down yourself, so that's what you must be. You should have left a dash where it says I. What am I? What you have to do is get rid of the who, get rid of the am, get rid of the I, and there's nothing, then you'll be free. Get rid of the whole thing. Hold on to nothing. Next, please.
What's it like for you when you meet another self-realized guru or person?
We slap each other in the face. What is there to do? There's nothing to do. I do nothing. And the person has realized I'll do nothing either. So look at each other, say nothing to each other, and go our own way. That's what, nothing to do, nothing to say.
can't get all this bad. After a satsang, where the spirit has been, for me, very strong, I find myself unable to visit with satsangis and converse unless they speak from their high self. Mundane talk or joking around feels irreligious to me or insulting the presence I feel within. Yet I see you joking and talking mundanely. Am I some kind of a phony? Do I have holiness and mundaneness all confused? I actually feel prevented after a strong satsang from something there, from a body. It is not a mental decision. I would be happy to socialize at a special level without body awareness.
Okay, you're not funny, but you got a big ego. It's your ego that makes you think all these things and say all these things. When your ego is gone, it makes no difference who you're associated with. You don't see the thing you're seeing now. You don't see this person is like this, this person is mundane, and I'm high. I know something this person doesn't, so I don't have anything to do with this person. On the contrary, the whole world becomes your family. You're not looking for special things in people, because you're seeing yourself, you see them as special. In other words, you're seeing yourself as an enlightened being, and you'll see everybody else the same way. So there are no special people. You don't associate with special people saying, this person is this way and this person is that way. And I can't talk to these people because I feel elated, I feel high. That's all ego. When you rid of your ego, you'll be one like everybody else. Because doesn't all these people come out of you? These people come out of you. Where would they come from? They're your creation. The whole universe is your creation. So if you're looking down at somebody, you're looking down at yourself. When you have evolved to the place where there are no others, you'll always be happy. For there's only one. That one is Brahman, that one is you, and yourself. You are that one. Do not think of high and low, good and bad. Those are the terms for the human being with the ego. If you're working on your ego to get rid of it, you'll feel comfortable with everybody. It doesn't mean you have to live with certain people forever. It means you'll have a good word to say to everybody, you'll be happy with everybody. You'll always feel wonderful inside, and nothing will disturb you. So forget about class, high class, low class, in between class, no class. Just be yourself. That's it, Robin. Do you have any announcements?
I have three transcripts. If you want to make copies of, I can let you have them now, and you can bring back 5 or 10 copies. Anybody interested in making some copies?